Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. Number is irrelevant and unimportant, not something that we're planning to spend time talking about. Anyways, yeah, Lee said show number 300 is coming up soon. It is coming up soon, and you know, we'll almost definitely announce that one when it comes, but that's I want to say in 2023, maybe February, something like that, maybe March. So yeah, when it comes, and you'll know the number at that time. Anyways, the important number for right now, and actually, I mean, if I were to go look right now, we might actually be on this number, UFC 280. This might be episode 280. I can't tell you for sure, but I do know that we are close. We are in that range somewhere. 280, this might be episode 280, and if it is, you love to see it because UFC 280 is next Saturday. We got to start talking some of these angles that are coming out. You know, you see there's a couple different talking points right now, a couple different situations playing right now, definitely moving parts with the event. It's starting to seem like not a shuffle like 279 was, but you do see, you know, Beneil Dariush was supposed to be the backup for the lightweight, the vacant lightweight title fight, even though, you know, to me, Charles Oliveira is your UFC undisputed lightweight world champion, but and that fight is a title defense, but you know, the UFC will tell you it's for a vacant title. Anyways, Beneil Dariush was supposedly he was the backup. I remember actually seeing that headline probably like 2-3 weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, that he was the official back. I remember seeing it. I didn't tap in and read the article, but I do remember seeing that reported. So and clearly that was true because he has come out and said, you know, what's going on here? Because you know Mike Chandler, not Mike Chandler. Who am I thinking of? Volkanovski. We're thinking of Volkanovski. Okay, yeah, Volkanovski has said that he's the official backup. So I don't know if they have multiple people on standby to be the backup. That might even be the case because they might both be the backup. I don't really know at this point, but you know, it could be either one of those guys. I don't know. I mean, me personally, I would like to see them have multiple backups. Beneil Dariush is like, what's going on? I was told I was the backup. This is a clown show. You know, he said something like that, and I don't blame him, but at the same time, I think it would be a good idea to have at least two backups, you know? I mean, you also have Gamrot is there, Gamrot. You know, he might even be on standby to be a backup. If you couldn't get Dariush, you take Gamrot, you know what I mean? And maybe, I mean, he shouldn't be fighting for the title of Gamrot's biggest win is against Armin Tsarukyan. I mean, that's a solid win, but Gamrot probably shouldn't be fighting for the title, but either way, you still have two other 155ers on the card. You know, you have at least two to my knowledge, and unless there's another fight, but you have two on the card that could both be backups. So, I mean, I don't think it's that much of an issue. I like the idea of having multiple and, you know, just in case you have like a domino effect of guys, you know, missing weight or, you know, not being able to, you know, get out there, passport issue, something like that. I mean, especially when you have such a big fight, this fight is heavy. You know, that lightweight title fight is heavy, man. That to me, biggest division in the UFC, you know, craziest division, most talent in a division in the UFC right now. Maybe even the best division. I mean, I usually say that's the best division in the history of the UFC right there is that lightweight division. That's pretty crazy. You know, so, I mean, obviously bantamweight is there and some of these other divisions, but that lightweight division might be the best division ever if you really look at it. Like, it's insane how many monsters are there, you know. But hold up a second. I want to see if the host of our show, you know, Lee, you out here, bro?
I'm here, bro. I'm here. I'm just listening to you.
All right, cool. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, just chilling, man, just chilling. Hey, I think bantamweight is the deepest division, bro. I think bantamweight right now is the chain. I know lightweight historically has been one of the best divisions, but I think right now, if I had to rank them, I would probably go bantamweight, then lightweight. Yeah. But, yeah, man, just to piggyback on what you were saying, man, I was kind of disappointed when I heard Volkanovski was going to be the backup fighter just in case something goes awry, I just feel like there's other natural 155ers that warrant the chance. I'm with you about Dariush probably being in there. You know, he's ranked number 5. Then you got Fazeev, who's ranked number 7. I don't really know. Yeah, well, he just beat RDA, so, you know, he ranked number 7. And then Gonrock, like you said, he's ranked number 9, and he's coming off a win. But why would you use one of them? Well, I guess they're not going to use Dariush and Gonrock because they scheduled to fight October 22nd. But you could have put them on this card, and that way you would have had natural 2 backups, you know. So, yeah, I just don't see why Volkanovski is the backup. I don't feel like he deserves it. We haven't even seen him fight at 155. So, that's just the UFC once again catering to the casual fan. They're trying to make him a double champion. Casual fans like that, but traditional fans don't care for the double champion. Because we know that one division is going to get put on hold. You can't defend both belts in the same weight class on the same card, and we're not going to have you on back-to-back pay-per-view cards. So one division is going to suffer, you know, when you got a champ. So, but, yeah, man, I would have thought it would have been Dariush or Gonrock, but if it wasn't them, I would have used Fazeev or – even your boy Jalen, man. I want to say Jalen is in this division too, but I don't think he ranked high enough where he could basically, you know, be what people be like, yeah, he's deserving of a title shot. So, but yeah, man. I thought the fight was Saturday, this Saturday coming up, and then I was like, man, hold on, am I got this? Do I got this? How that's right. Then I looked, I was like, oh, it's next week. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to go off the way that I'm, if you were to go off my hype and the way I wrote this up, I mean, there's angles to talk about because you see a lot of the fighters are touching down in Abu Dhabi right now. So things are starting to happen. I'm pretty sure Oliveira is out there now. I mean, it seems like Islam's been out there. I feel like most of the fighters are getting out there at this point. That would make sense. I mean, a week out may definitely make sense. You know, I know Oliveira wanted to get acclimated to the – I forget what he said it was. Is it the temperature or the air quality? Or it was something like that. And anyways, yeah, there's a lot of stories. I mean, Islam on Twitter saying, like, you know, this guy said he was coming out, going to be in Abu Dhabi 3 weeks before the fight, and you know, last week he was like, oh, he's still not here, should I worry? And it's like, man, y'all should hope that he doesn't make it to the fight. I'll say that, you know, and I bet they are hoping that, you know what I mean? All those guys been talking, you know, such a heavy game. I'm sure y'all are hoping he doesn't make it to the fight, you know what I mean? Because really, if you combine the two of them together, they hardly even have a resume. You put the two of those guys together, you might be like 11-0 with tough guys. I mean, really, 12-0. You got, what do y'all got? 12, you know, respectable wins combined. Come on, man. Stop playing with us. Stop playing. And y'all know what I'm, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. So there's a lot of storylines that are coming out, you know, for UFC 280. I just feel like this was a perfect time. Plus, to me, if you're an avid fan, you don't have to be like a hardcore fan that's watching every card, but if you're someone who's, you know, more like me, who's watching, you know, at the minimum, pretty much every pay-per-view, I've watched just about every pay-per-view in the last, damn, I want to say at least in the last 5 years. You know, I think I've watched every pay-per-view in the last like 5 or 6 years straight, just about every single one. There's been like one here and there where like, you know, I might not watch it or like something's going on or I'm out of state, can't, you know, watch it, whatever. Like, I missed the Edwards and Usman that just went down because I was, you know, at a wedding. So, like, certain things. But for the most part, I've watched probably 90%, you know, of all the college the last 5 or 6 years. And if, and I know this, if you're an average fan like me and Lee, you – UFC 280 is the card, man, for 2022. This is the card. I mean, if you're a casual fan, this probably isn't the card because a lot of these guys that are fighting on it are not really, besides probably like Sean O'Malley, you don't really have guys on the card that would probably appeal to the casual fan. But, you know, you have a card that if you really – like, if you actually watch fights and you know what's going on and you're interested and you keep up, this is your card, man. This to me, this is the biggest card of the year, without a doubt. I mean, there is nothing even close to this. Like, they tried to, you know, make UFC 276 star-studded, but that didn't really – that wasn't really it. I mean, you didn't have – I mean, what fights are really on that card? The main event was Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. I mean, really, that was a mismatch. Like, you didn't even have a competitive main event. You had – you know, Jared Cannonier was never going to win that fight. I'm sorry, but, you know, there was a 0% chance he was ever going to win that fight. And that was the main event. So it's like, you know, that was nothing. So it's the biggest card, man. And I am damn excited, bro. That's why I know we had to kick it off a week early just to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think 280. All thing I care about right now is Charles Oliveira making weight. Ben, he didn't make weight at the last fight, and, you know, it was some stuff going on, and they said he did make weight, and, you know, stuff like that. So I just need Charles Oliveira to make weight so we can get this fight. But it's everybody. A lot of people out there really are, once again, blatantly disrespecting the champ. Although he ain't the champ, he is the champ in my eyes. What can Islam really do better than Charles Oliveira? Tell me one thing he can do better than Charles Oliveira outside of growing a beard. What else can he do inside the octagon better than Charles Oliveira? He can't wrestle better than him. His jiu-jitsu ain't better than his. I doubt he even tried to take Oliveira down. So, and we've seen Oliveira striking go from maybe a 5 up to about a 9.5, 10, you know, over the years. So what is Islam so good at that makes us feel like he has an advantage over Charles Oliveira? I asked this question on Twitter. Nobody answered yet. Nobody has said anything. Nobody has replied and said I'm crazy. Because proof is in the pudding. Every time Charles Oliveira has been hurt in a fight, what do the fighters do? They never come in aggressively and tackle. They don't try to pull guard. Only thing they do is motion to the ref to let him get back to his feet. Why? Because they scared to fight him on the mat. Because they know that his ground game is just as superior now as his striking game. Now, he knocked out Chandler. He basically knocked out Gaethje too, but he ended up submitting him. I want to say he hurt Dustin and ended up submitting him, but he hurt him with his striking. So, what can Islam do? What is it that people are seeing in Islam's game that's make them so, so super confident that he gonna win? Help me out.
I mean, I don't really have an answer for you. So I was like, all right, he might be, you know, he's either asking me, but then I'm like, nah, he's asking, you know, he doesn't even know, and he's trying to ask the people, and then I'm going back to me, and I'm like, damn, maybe he is asking me, and I'm like, damn, well, I really don't have the answer. I mean, Islam, I've watched him fight a couple times. I want to say I just didn't care. I've known who the guy was. I just don't think I cared. And he just wasn't somebody that was really on my radar to watch. I saw his Dan Hooker fight. I figured he would, you know, dispatch Dan Hooker pretty quick. He did. I didn't see the Bobby Green fight. I didn't see the other dude he fought before that, who nobody really even, you know, knows. And I don't even – I want to say I've seen, like, some of his, like, fights in his win streak, but I just don't think I cared. Like, I probably, like – that was probably, like, a fight that was on in the background or something, and, like, while, like, me and, you know, some of my homies were having drinks. Like, I don't think that was a fight that I was really – you know what I mean? I wasn't checking. I don't think I've ever really been checking for an Islam Makhachev fight. I'm sorry. I just don't really care. I mean, we'll see what he's got, but it, you know, he's also just never been in fights with guys that I cared about watching. It was like, I don't think I was around when he fought Bobby Green. That was like one of the first times, like the Dan Hooker, then Bobby Green. It was the first time he actually started to fight guys that like I would be checking for. It's like, all right, he's fighting someone that I like, here we go. Like, you know, this could be a good scrap. I don't think I wasn't around when he fought Bobby Green. I was at an event or something, but the Dan Hooker one, I was like, okay, here we go. But, you know, I figured what he would do with that one. But overall, it's like, yeah, I mean, he can take you down, and, you know, he has – I kind of look at him like it's – I was explaining this to one of my friends, you know, this past weekend. We were having some drinks and, you know, having a good time. I think I want to say, like, last Friday night, we were out, you know, having some drinks, and I was trying to explain to him, like, yo, this car that's coming up is a banger, bro. And, you know, he was kind of wondering about Islam, and I was like, all right, this is how I would put it to you. I mean, based on what I know about him, I mean, if you ask his coach, you know, his coach gasses him up like he's the best fighter that's ever lived. I mean, his coach is saying he's the best lightweight ever and all this shit, and that he's, you know, better than Khabib and all that. It's like, man, listen. So what I told my friend is that I was like, yo, the way I look at him is that he's higher than Khabib in the striking, but to me, I look at him as less than Khabib in the wrestling and grappling. That's kind of how I look at it. I look at him like, all right, he's a Khabib that has – because Khabib didn't really have much of any striking. He really didn't have – Khabib was not like – he didn't really have striking in his game. Like, he – I feel like he was, like, starting to, like, have some – like, he was starting to look better in the striking. But most of the time, like, he looked afraid in striking exchanges. You know, he didn't look confident to me, so – And you would see him get hit, you know, when he was in striking exchange. It's not like he was, like, an unhittable guy. You know, he would get hit for sure. And it was like, you know, Islam, I would say, from – I watched one of his older fights. I forget who I watched him fight back on, like, YouTube or something. I watched him fight or on ESPN, and I was like, okay, like, this guy takes guys down, but they get back up. Like, I remember who it was that I watched him fight, and, like, he had a lot of takedowns. He took the dude down a lot, but the dude kept getting back to his feet, like, over and over again. I forget who it was. One of the fights during this win streak that I went back and watched. It was, like, a name. I don't even know who the guy was he fought, but, like, I just remember, like, and I said it to you. I remember coming on the show. This was probably, like, a year, 2 years ago, something like this, and I remember coming on and saying, like, yeah, I watched that dude with Islam, and I just don't really think he's, like, has that dominance that Khabib has once he takes the dude down. Like, I'm skeptical about him being able to take guys down and keep them down once they get there, like Khabib would do. Like, you really wouldn't see guys get up in a round. Like, once Khabib would take you down, that was the round. And, like, you pretty much knew that. Like, you weren't really going to see guys. I want to say maybe Ally Kinta. I don't even know. I think once Al got taken down, he was down. But, like, there was times where he would, like, get out of the, like, he would kind of, like, stop a takedown. You would see him kind of, like, get up to, I think he did get up to his feet, maybe. I think he might have done it, maybe once. I thought I remember him doing it, but for the most part, when Khabib took dudes down, that was the round. Like, you were waiting until next round. Okay, they'll be back on their feet. Let's see what they could, you know. But when I watched Islam in that one fight, all I saw was him taking the dude down over and over, and the dude getting back to his feet over and over. So I just don't think he's as dominant as Khabib Plus, we just haven't seen the work. You know, who have we? We just haven't. I haven't seen enough, and I don't think he's fought like high level guys to really show that he's dominant. You know what I mean, in that area, like these guys are just going off of like he say, she say with this dude. Like, who have we seen him? Who have we seen him dominate? Really? I mean, and if he's dominated them, like his biggest win is Dan Hooker, and that's like he's unranked. He's a washed. Like, that's not even really a big win at this point. You know what I mean? Like it's funny to me how he says that, you know, I saw him criticizing Michael Chandler the other day on Twitter. And I just think it's funny that he's all focused on what, you know, Mike Chandler is saying, but he has Oliveira to fight next week. So that just goes to show you, you know, the way these guys operate, how arrogant they really are. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So he had a comment with Michael Chandler last week, and I just think this is, you know, so hypocritical. He's saying to Michael Chandler, you know, he's tweeting like, oh, like Michael Chandler doesn't have a claim to the title. You know, he lost in the title fight. And then, you know, his only win since has been against, you know, old Tony, who was on like a 4-fight or 5-fight losing streak at the time. And it's like, wait a second. Hold on. Isn't your biggest win against a guy that was on a similar losing streak?
There we go.
Come on, bro. Come on. This is why these guys gotta stop playing. Like these dudes think they're so intelligent. They think they're the best fighters in the world. You know what I mean? They disregard everybody. And then they go on Twitter and they make these comments like they're, you know, the smartest dude in the room. And it's like, oh, you did this, but you did the same thing. You did the same thing. So, you know, if you're not out here bragging about that win and you take away that win, it's like, what wins do you have? Like you did the same thing, and you're criticizing Mike Chandler for that. Dan Hooker, I'm pretty sure, was on at least a 3-fight win streak, if not a 4-fight win streak, when you beat him. And that's your biggest win.
And you know, I always thought Dan Hooker was trash. I never liked him. I always thought he was overrated. And when I found out he was going to be fighting Islam, I was like, oh, man, he's about to get ran through. And lo and behold, he got ran through. So, yeah, man, it's funny how I love how you said you combine their records together, him and Khabib, and they got 11 quality wins and like 60 fights combined. Come on, man. Step the competition up.
And it's like, and so, you know, it's so funny because, like, to make it even worse, like, someone did a side-by-side the other day. I forget who it was that posted it. And, you know, obviously I didn't add up the wins and losses myself. But you know what they said? They said that what was it? I think it was, like, the first 10 fights or maybe in the first 20 fights. It was Jose Aldo. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, all the Khabib stands, like, what do y'all have to say about this? You know what I mean? They did Jose Aldo. This is why he's not in the conversation. You guys get so offended, okay, because he's not in the conversation. He is not in the conversation with these guys, bro. He is not. You do, you know, Jose Aldo, John Jones, GSP, Anderson Silva, Daniel Cormier, BJ Penn. You know, you put all these guys down. Like, I'm just naming off the first ones that, you know, come to my mind, and there's more. But when you do, like, that all-time list, he is not with those guys. Like, you can put him somewhere, but, like, okay, he was undefeated, but can you really, like, stack up what he did with any one of those guys did? I mean, really. Like, all those guys, if you look at all those guys, they all have fucking awesome resumes. Like, DC beat everybody. He fought all the dudes that were good. John Jones has fought all the dudes. Speaking of which, John Jones actually has more title fights than Khabib has fights in the UFC.
Say that again.
John Jones actually has more title fights, and mind you, these are all title fight wins. He has more title fights than Khabib has fights in the UFC, period. So how do y'all, like, this is the point where you lose me with these guys. This is why I don't respect these guys, because, like, they talk like they're God's gift to earth, you know what I mean? And it's like, y'all are not as good as you think, you know what I mean? Like, where is the work? You know what I mean? Where is the work to show what you are talking about? Where is the work? You know what I mean? Khabib fought three guys and left, you know? and dropped the belt and left. And now all he does is have, like, some negative comment or you know, slight to Charles Oliveira, who's pretty much doing everything that he, you know, is smashing guys and is show, and putting on better showings than Habib did, really, and is continuing to do it, you know. So all he ever does is have something negative to say, you know, every other day about Charles Oliveira. It's like, if you don't, if you're not, like, nervous about it, or if it doesn't bother you to see him doing it, why do you always have something bad to say? Like, why wouldn't you just stay
all
shut? You know what I mean? They always have something to say. Like, it's like, even his coach, they have something to say. Islam always have something to say. Anyone that's involved in them has something to say. I'm sure Ali Abdelaziz probably has, you know, something. He's probably been chirping himself, you know, yapping his jaws. He probably always has something to say. I don't pay attention. I think I got him muted on Twitter because I don't give a shit what he has to say, but I'm sure he's on that, you know, spewing nonsense. And it's just so funny because these guys are just not who they think they are, and that's really what it comes down to. So you cannot put a B with any of those guys, so that's the end of it. So don't tell me you can. He is not with those guys. So you, wherever you want to put him in your list, that's fine, but to me, he is not with those guys. You know what I mean? He is not in the same conversation as those dudes, to me. He is not. Because all those dudes put in the work. BJ Penn fought the best guys. GSP always fought the best guys. Anderson Silva always fought the best guys. You know, end of his career, he stayed a little bit too long, and I feel like that did kind of, you know, taint his legacy a little bit. You know, you stay around too long. But either way, he fought the best dudes forever. You know, John Jones always trying to fight the best dudes, and John Jones trying to move up to heavyweight, trying to fight more of the best guys, trying to challenge Ngannou, something Habib never did. Habib could have done that. You know what I mean? So make all the excuses you want to make. Habib could have moved up to welterweight. He could have fought Tyron Woodley for a second belt, and he could have went up to welterweight permanently and challenged all those guys. Could have challenged Usman, challenged Covington. Who would not have wanted to see those fights? You know what I mean? Who would not want to see those super fights? Why would he not move up and challenge himself? Everyone talks about the weight that he is, right? So there's all these pictures. Oh, he's so big. Habib's, you know, wrestling with heavyweights. Yeah, as if we're all bragging about this. Oh, he's wrestling with heavyweights. Great. So why is he not moving up in weight? You guys love to say that he's wrestling heavyweights and, oh, you know, he's always sparring with all these bigger dudes. It's like, great. Great. That's awesome. So why is he fighting, you know, little guys? I'm not saying 155ers aren't tanks. They're still beasts. But it's like, if you're gonna boast that stat, why did he never try to move up? Like, that's my question. And everyone likes to say, like, you know, this happened. Like, I know. His father passed away. I'm not saying, like, I understand that part. Like, I get that of why he walked away. His mother wanted to walk away. I respect that part of it. The point that I'm trying to get to is that he could have done it before. You know what I mean? He could have done these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then fought once a year after that. It's like, you know, fights once a year. It's like you're beating guys, you know, barely even getting hit. And it's like, you know, you dispatch Justin Gaethje in two rounds, you dispatch Poirier in, I think, three. It's like you're coming out pretty much unscathed out of these fights. Why are you not fighting more? Dude was fighting once a year. Made no sense. You could have fought more guys in the title, you know, reign that you had. And you could have moved up to welterweight in that time, you know, or you could have even moved up to welterweight before that. You know, you could have moved up, like, you were undefeated, you know, you wanted to fight for the title. It's like, he could have moved up to welterweight and started fighting there and then moved back down or something. Like, I don't understand, man. You want to talk about greatness, like, these guys just, I don't really see greatness in these guys. You know what I mean? I don't really see it, you know. Sometimes people call me a hater, but I don't really see it, man. And I don't appreciate, you know, the arrogance from dudes that, you know, you don't really have a leg to stand on with the things you say. And it's like a lot of the stuff that you say, you know, you look like a hypocrite. It comes back to bite you because you do the same thing. And it's like, who have you fought? Where are all your title fights? Like, John Jones is on there, like, you know, posting things, and he puts him and Habib next to it. And it's like people are like, oh, John Jones has no chill. It's like, but he's right, though. He's right, though. It's like, how can you compare those two guys? I mean, really, like, what has Habib done that can even bring him in the same conversation as John Jones? Really? Like, and I'm someone who's a critic of John Jones. I don't even really like the guy that much. You know, I usually have, you know, think that I question him a lot. You know, he irritates me a little bit too, but you see me, you know, imagine that. You know, you see me, you know, pretty much standing up for him in this conversation. because it's like, I think he's almost right. He's pretty much right to put that out there. It's like, how are guys gonna like say, you know what I mean? To even put guys like in the same conversation. It's like people's attention span is so short. You know, you just forget the work. You know what I mean? It's like, when did this guy put in the work to say that? You know what I mean? So, yeah. So you go ahead.
Hey man, I totally agree, man. I totally agree. It's just crazy that some of the things fighters do or some of the things fighters say, like we can't go and check the records. Like we can't go and see who you fought, when you fought them, and how you fared. So I laugh. I get disgusted sometimes when I see certain fights get made because I feel like, hey, you know, why is this person in this position? But at the same time, I understand the business side. Now, man, a lot of people, I hate to do this, but a lot of people are mad at the sport of boxing because they are mad because you never get the fights that the fans want to see. And I put out three ways you can fix boxing today under the Leon Keys Real Talk Twitter handle. Go check it out. Let me know what you think. But in the UFC, ain't no running. Quote, unquote, there shouldn't be any running. But, Keys, I'm looking at certain people's record, and I see Khabib was allowed to run. Islam has been allowed to run. Khamzat was allowed to run until he fought Gilbert Burns. So now the UFC is sponsoring their own track team now with these fighters that they're allowing them to run? No, they are protecting them because they want to see how good they can get. And when they become champion, Dana can poke his chest off and be like, we always believe this guy's going to be champion one day. You can tell by the way we was booking him, blah, 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 blah. So as mad as we might be at the process, we have to be equally as mad at the people allowing the process to happen. Because I know, man, you talked about protecting fighters. Just a year and a half ago, we were talking about them protecting Sean O'Malley. But come to find out, Sean O'Malley was protecting Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley was like, I'm not going to fight these top-ranked guys, and you paying me this way. So, evidently, they redid his contract. You see, his first fight is now against a top-five guy. Hey, way to go, Sean. Way to step up to the plate. I find it interesting that in today's MMA, if you have an O on your record, man, you have to be a bad mom to be undefeated in the sport of MMA. Because everybody going to have a bad day. All your fights ain't going to be where you come in and do get your stuff off and, you know, not take a punch here, kick there. So that's why it's hard to see MMA fighters go 47-0 over a career. I'm a John Jones fan. He got one loss on his record, although he tried to fight it. But, hey, you got a loss on your record. Who else? GSP had losses on his record. Daniel Cormier had losses on his record. Stipe had losses on his record. So it's all about you as the fighter maximizing your skills to the best of your ability to reach the highest potential you can reach. And the only way you can do that is by fighting quality opponents, bottom line.
And if you look at your phone right now, I sent you a picture. I also posted it on our page just for anyone who's listening to see it and people who aren't listening, look on our feed. You'll see it on our Twitter page, @LeanKeys, capital RT, Lean Keys, Real Talk. check out our page. Look at your text message, too. I sent you this picture. So this guy put the two records together. This is what I was – see? This is what I was talking about. And I wanted to – you know, I kind of cut off and went into, you know, a different topic. But I wanted to get – I wanted to take time to get the picture up so I could actually – we could reference this and just show y'all the difference. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're talking about. It's like, what are y'all talking about when, you know – You want to read it out? Actually, you know what? You want to read it out for the people? You have that picture up?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Khabib on the left and my man Jose Aldo on the right. Combined record of their first 16 opponents. Khabib's was 67-49. Jose's was 114-41. So basically, Jose's opponents almost doubled up the wins of Khabib's. Wow. Jose had 9 title defenses. Khabib had 3. Fights against world champions, Jose had 9. Khabib had 2. Victories in other weight classes, Jose Aldo had 2, while Khabib had 0. And see, and you know what people will say? People will try to point these numbers out, and they will try to say you are skewing the numbers to make your point. And all I will say then is, okay, let's look at the first 20 opponents they fought. Okay, how many opponents you want to look at? And regardless of how you look at it, Jose Aldo will still have a better, more respectable resume that could be. So enough said, man. It's all about I wrote an article a couple of weeks about a year ago, and I was saying stop looking at people's records and look at the quality of the competition. And I pointed out some guys who had kind of sort of like mediocre records. You remember this, Keys? Cowboy Cerrone, mediocre record. But if you look at everybody he fought, man, he fought the who's who, anybody at the time that he was in the fight game. Me and your boy Michael Page. Is it Michael Page? Yeah, Michael Page. I think his last name Page. No,
Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson got a suspect record, but if you look at who he fought, he fought everybody that was a somebody. You just can't go off of records. You got to go off the level of competition, the quality of the competition, and who are they fighting that was somebody at the time that they were fighting. Bro, respect to Donald Cerrone. Respect to Michael Johnson. Because them guys did their thing, man. They did their thing. They fought who's who. I want to say it was somebody else I had up there. I can't remember who it was. But, man, you have to respect those that are willing to put it on the line every time they jump in the octagon and fight the next best person. Not try to, man, I'm number 10. Man, let me take a break and let me fight this guy that's ranked number 18. Nah, you don't do that, man. You keep fighting the people that's either above you or directly under you. So, man, boy. This subject really, really burns my fire because me and Keys have been talking about this for so long. And when you do that Jose Aldo and that Khabib side by side, man, that's just a throat punch to all them Khabib fans. That's a throat punch to them, Keys. Defend that, Khabib fans. Defend it. Defend it. That's what I say. Defend it.
Funny thing about it is that, like, you could really argue that Okay, Poirier, what do you fight? McGregor. Okay. So you don't have those three fights. You could argue that, you know, Tony Ferguson has a better resume than Habib. I think you could. So I think Tony Ferguson actually fought guys. You know, even though he's on a losing streak now, that's because he actually challenges himself. He actually fights all the guys that Habib never fought. No Chandler fight for him. No Oliveira fight for him. No Dariush fight for him. Who's the other one that he just lost to? I forget.
Nate Diaz, Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje.
And really, when you look at it, you know what's so funny about that? Tony lost to Nate at what weight?
170.
170. Because Tony moved up to 170 to challenge himself. You know what I mean? Yeah, so he took a couple losses at 155, but he said, look, I'm going to go up to another division who has a lot more kill. You know, there's a lot more killers there, but let's go up and see. Challenges himself again. And y'all never went to 170, you know. But so really, you know, who's taking risks? Who's taking on challenges? Who's taking the big fights? You know what I mean? And it's like the great – like I respect guys more that – took losses because they took more challenges rather than guys that are undefeated that ducked. You know what I'm saying? And when you and if you want to say, like, okay, Jose Aldo, like, that stat right there, 7-48. So his first 16 opponents combined only have 19 more wins than losses?
Yeah, that means they're mediocre.
That means, like, most of those guys barely have winning records. That means, like, they're all, like, very iffy records. Like, you should have much more. If you're fighting dudes that are, like, okay, you're fighting other undefeated, like, prospects coming up, 4-0 guys, whatever. You're fighting, you know, guys with one loss. Like, you're fighting guys with two losses. No, that sounds like you're fighting dudes that, you know, are either, like, really early on, like, okay, these dudes are, like, maybe 2-1. Like, these are a lot of early, like, you know, guys with no experience. Or you were fighting guys that, like, had more losses than wins. You know,
yep.
Like, that's just, so, either way, it's, we, you know, it, and when you look at it, I almost wanted to say we got off track with this, but you know what? It is what it is. I feel like this is a topic for UFC 280 because these guys, you know, they try to steal the spotlight with all their arrogance. So we get – I think this kind of is on topic if you look at that. So really, it's – when you look at the world title fights, how can you say that it's skewing the data? How can you say you're skewing the numbers? What is being skewed? You don't – if you had nine – Jose Aldo had nine title fights. What do people say about Floyd Mayweather? What is one of the things that comes up? What does Floyd Mayweather boast about himself? One of his – it's a big achievement. How many world champions has Floyd Mayweather beat? It's a double-digit number. It's a double-digit number. I want to say Floyd Mayweather has beaten – I want to say it's either 22 or 23 world champions.
Yeah. I mean, I can name a couple of them off the top of my head, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
It's at least 20. It's 100%. It's at least 20. How many world champions has Floyd Mayweather beat? I know that's boxing, but I don't care. All right, so it is. It's 23. It says, at present, Mayweather has toppled 23. I knew it was either 22 or 23 because when I saw that stat, I was so inspired, man, when I heard that stat. I was like, you know what? That's a true beast right there. Like, you can't – how many guys have beaten that many world champions? So, Mayweather has toppled 23 world champions during his career. So, he's 49-0 or 50-0, whatever you want to call it. That's fine. But 23 out of that record were world champions. That is an incredible feat. That is an incredible feat. And then you have guys here. Habib is 29-0, and he only fought – how many world champions? He fought – two world champions?
He fought Conor, and he fought
So Conor is former world champion. And don't tell me you're talking about Don't tell me they're talking about interim champions. Don't tell me.
No, I'm trying. I know Connor. I want to say Gaethje had won a belt in some other organization, but that don't count in my opinion.
Okay, so Gaethje, yeah. I think he was a champion.
No, Poirier was an interim champion. So, no, we can't count him.
Yeah, but that's not really a world champion. He's just an interim champion.
Yeah.
You're not really.
Yeah, so I'm
he
still in the fifth trying
real
to.
Belt.
So basically it was just Conor then, right?
I mean, if you want to say Gaethje was like a World Series of Fighting champion, but he wasn't a UFC champion. I mean, I don't know. You can even count Gaethje if you really want to, but that's still two world champions. That's pretty wild, man. I mean, okay, so that's what it says. Fights against world champions. Is that too? So that's probably who they're saying. They're saying McGregor and Gaethje, because there's no other world champions in that. And if you want to go like, because bro, you could get into. I mean, guys being champions in like lower level organizations, like man, don't nobody care about that. I mean, like, and even then, it's like, I don't know. You just that's just either way. Man, that is just sad to me. That is sad to me. So, I don't know, man. That really got me. That really got me right there. That set me off because I've been seeing it during the weekend. You know, you mentioned it too on Twitter. It's like, you know, here we go again with like more disregard for Charles Oliveira. Why do you think everybody tries so hard to like undermine where he's at and like what he's done?
I look at it like this, man. People still think he's a fluke. They still look at him as being a fluke champion. I have the perfect example of a fluke champion. Chris Weidman was a fluke champion. Charles Oliveira is far from being a fluke champion. The guy has improved his game. The guy, if you look at who he has fought in just his last maybe six or seven fights, he fought Tony Ferguson. He fought Michael Chandler. He fought Dustin Poirier. He fought, who he just fight? Oh, man. Oh, it slips me right now. But there is no denying that Charles Oliveira, win or lose, if you look at his record, this guy has fought in the who's who in that division from year in to year out, and he is way more deserving of being the champion than probably 90% of the guys in the division. And I want to say 100% more deserving than Islam. So, people, I know y'all don't want to like Charles Oliveira. I know y'all trying to find ways of not liking him. But you know what? Put some respect on that man's name. You ain't got to like him. But put some respect on his name.
That's a fact. And I'm going to say this. Do you think... No, I think we can go off with this one, right? And I just want to give one quick thing before I actually bring this up. It'll take me 2 seconds. We never got to talk about Johnny Walker at UFC 279. I'm pretty sure it was 279. Johnny Walker won by,
good.
Like, first or second. What?
He looked good. He looked really, really good.
I know. We just didn't even, like, the past couple of weeks, I kept thinking, like, damn, I don't think we ever mentioned Johnny Walker's performance, and I kept forgetting to bring it up, but I meant to, and I was like, because I was so impressed, bro. I really was. I was so impressed with Johnny Walker, man. Like, that's what I mean when, like, guys are like, oh, but, like, they can't learn, like, they can't become, like, a different style fighter. And it's like, nah, well, he looks like he's trying to become a jiu-jitsu fighter, man. That looks like – and that was clean work in there. That was clean work. I mean, I'm not, like, a expert on the game. Like, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert where I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he did, and he pulled guard. Like, I couldn't tell you exactly the sequence, but that was clean work in there, man. He fought a tough guy. Ion Cuileva, you know, looks like he could star in a Wolverine movie or something. You know, tough guy. And he pretty much – I'm really surprised they never, like, used him as, like, Wolverine's enemy in a movie. He looks like perfect for like Sabretooth, I think, is, or one of those dudes that in the Wolverine movie, or play Wolverine. That dude kind of just has that. He looks like he could turn into a wolf like at any moment's notice. But anyways, you fight Ion Cuileva, tough guy, and it's like Johnny Walker being a guy that has been KO'd recently, you know, knocked out cold, and has, you know, we've seen him rocked in multiple fights and then also knocked out cold. You know, Ion Cuileva is a heavy hitter. And, you know, that when I looked at that, I was like, damn, like, you know, I can't wait to see it. But, like, you know, that makes me a little bit nervous because, you know, Johnny Walker is chinny. You know, he's a little bit chinny. And Ion Cuileva is, like, you know, a guy that's – he's coming in there to throw hands. And he's got knockout power. And it's like, you know, that's one of those matches. And then Johnny Walker goes in and just completely makes it his fight and chokes him out. I was like, oh my goodness, Johnny Walker is not, you know, Johnny Walker, the striker is gone, bro. I think he's, you know, he's been watching Damian Maia tapes. Like he was like backpack man, bro. He was on the backpack game. I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful to see right now. I was so damn happy for him, bro. And I just didn't get that off on our show, but I meant to. So shout out to Johnny Walker, man. I'm very – he looks like he's trying to switch up his fight style, and I support that, bro. Cause, I mean, look, clearly he's putting in the work because he looked phenomenal in that performance. That was a great performance. So shout out to him. And the last thing that I want to get to is we don't really know who the backup will be for 280 when I first got on the show. We don't really know who the backup will be because, you know, you're seeing, you know, Volkanovski, that's my guy. You know, Volcano is saying that he's the backup, but Pineda Dariush, I thought was the backup before that. And so maybe both. I don't know what's going down. I'm sure we'll find that out by, like, Monday or Tuesday next week. But I'm going to ask you this, though.
Okay.
Well, actually, it'll be a two-part question. I'm gonna ask you this. So, one, out of any of those matchups, and out of any of those matchups that could happen, out of those four guys, number one, who do you think would be the, like, no matter what the matchup ended up being, because clearly at this point you could end up with a mix and match of different fights there. Like, there's, like, four guys in that situation. You could end up with almost any of those guys fighting each other, you know, when it comes down to it. So who do you think of those four would be the most likely to go undefeated against, like, in any of those matchups? Like, who do you think it would be most likely to win no matter what, no matter who they fought in that title fight? That's the part one. And then part two is, so given that, you know, what do you think Volkanovski's record would be with those matchups?
Oh, man, I think Volkanovski he will struggle. I'll start with that first. I think he will struggle. I think he will struggle with the reach and the height of some of these guys. I don't see him beating Charles. I don't see him beating Islam. I might give him a shot against Benil, but I don't think he could beat Gamrot. So I just don't see him being that guy in this division because you know what he's going to run into? He's going to run into what Frankie Edgar ran into when he was a champion in this division. The guys were getting taller. They was getting longer. And they was getting stronger. Whereas he couldn't grow no more. People was figuring out his movement. So, yeah, man, I just don't see him. I don't see it, bro. No, he was at 145. He was at 145, Frankie was. No. Yeah, he was at 145. I'm sorry. But the same thing goes, though. I think he just couldn't. I just don't see him doing well, Keys. What about you? You see him doing well against those four guys?
I mean,
what do you think his record would be? All right, who you think he would beat?
Damn, you spun the question on me. You spun the question on me. All right, so Volkanovski versus those dudes. So I think probably the most likely to beat all those guys, the most likely of those four guys to go undefeated, I go Oliveira.
Oliveira
to go undefeated, no matter who he's like of those four. I think he's most likely to win all of them. And then Volkanovski, I think Volkanovski beats Darius. I don't really think Darius is that good. You know, his striking is not good, and you know, say he can't keep the fight on the mat, like it's over for him. And so I think I'd probably say Volkanovski would go 1-2, possibly 2-1, losing to Oliveira, beating Dariush, and I'd give it a 50-50 against Islam, because I don't really believe in Islam that much. And we don't know that Volkanovski is an easy guy to take down, and we also know that he does very well, even if he's in a submission. We saw him versus Ortega, so it's not like Islam is just going to go tap him like he does to these other guys. And we know that Islam is not going to outstrike him on the feet. So I'd say Volkanovski goes 1-2, possibly 2-1, and the definite one loss being to Oliveira. That's how I would go if I had a pick today.
Yeah, I got you. We're thinking basically the same. I was thinking the same way. I think Charles Oliveira could go 3-0 against these guys at the most, maybe 2-1. But it wouldn't be. I don't think he would lose to Islam or Dariush. I think Gamrot will probably be his stiffest competition. So, but Gamrot. Can you be effective in changing up your style to not chase Charles to the mat? Are you willing to fight a stand-up fight for five rounds when your stand-up is not that good? So, hey, man, it's who will have confidence and actually being on the mat with Charles Oliveira? Because you're going to have to be a confident MF-er to want to go to the mat with him. So we shall see. But I think Charles go undefeated, 2-1 at the max. I think Volkanovski will go 1-3.
All right. There we have it. I think on that note, we could probably close it out. Excellent show. We got to a lot of different points tonight. This was pretty much exactly the way I wanted it to be. You know, in the beginning, we definitely dug deep on that topic. You know, that got a little lengthy, but that was something that, you know, I've been seeing a lot of that this week, and it kind of just been out in the back of my mind. So it is what it is. And plus, hey, I mean, we do real talk here. We speak how we feel, and we're not going to sugarcoat things on this show. We've never done that. So Even if you don't agree with the opinions might be raw, and a lot of times they are raw, but you know we're going to tell you like it is, and we're not going to sugarcoat things like we never have. So it is what it is. Great show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting us, following us on Twitter. Speaking of which, I've been trying to be more active on the Twitter and putting out a lot more, and I want to say we've gained probably like 10 or 11 followers in the past week since I've been doing that. So shout out to y'all. Y'all been rocking with us on Twitter. A couple guys have been following us, sending us, you know, memes and stuff like that, stuff related to, you know, UFC 280. So thank y'all for rocking with us. Appreciate y'all. Well, you know, I'm going to continue to be active on the Twitter, so look out for our page. Follow us at Lee and Keys, capital RT. Follow Lee's page. Follow my page. Hit us up. If you disagree with something we said, you know, definitely tweet at us, and we can talk about it. And, that's pretty much all I got. And shout out to Johnny Walker for that performance. You know, I'm looking forward to the next, you know, submission win. And, Lee, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Johnny Walker, man, hey, he showed up, showed out. But like my man Key said, on next week, we'll be full-blown all UFC 280. We will have a classic preview show like we always have. We'll make our predictions. We're going to do a little bit of, we'll do some fight breakdowns. You know, man, because this card is a monster card. And this card has names on it. You know, some of these people are fighting people that, you know, I'm like, I don't know that person, but this might be a banger if you look at the record. So next week, make sure you tune in. Oh, man, next week going to be real fun, man, especially me and Keith getting to these predictions. I think we probably lean the same way on a lot of these, but... Hey, this card is a great card. Great, great, great card. I'm going to be playing it to the TV. I thought I might have been out of town that week, but no, I'm not. I will be in town. So, that being said, hey, live your life to the fullest. Ride that mud till the wheels fall off. Then you can get the wheels repaired, fix them, and ride some more because it's yours. Do as you please, live it as you want. But as always, Lee and Keys signing off. We always end with a peace.